As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined, as always, by the one and only Goots Magoo. What's up, dude?
Well, I guess you know it's live show week.
It is live show week.
That's a really good thing. But there are forces in nature that are trying to make us sad.
Is it nature or is it, you know, in the city?
Nature versus nurture?
No, that's a different conversation. We can save that one for a later date. I have one thing that's making me sad. Are we doing that today? Should we talk about sad stuff?
Talk about stuff that's making us sad.
Jason Kelce retired.
Yep.
I am not over it yet.
That was 50%. The other 50% is the Phillies took away Dollar Dog Night.
Yeah.
All in the same week.
I'm not sad about that one. I'm mad about that one. I'm very sad, accepting, but sad of Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
The fact that his statue is not already built and on top of the art museum steps is upsetting. They should have had that ready to go just in case he decided to retire. But this is our homage to Jason. Thank you. We love you so much.
You doing
Please
this?
Don't retire.
He already retired.
Come back.
No. If he's done, he's done. But forces are at work to try to make us sad during live show week. Our live show is tomorrow, if you're listening to this right now.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Jesus Christ, that came up
quickly. This one got here in a hurry.
It did, but it didn't. But it did. Yeah, no, it did. I couldn't decide, honestly. I just went back and forth in my own mind. Yeah, so look, what we're going to do today, because this is going to be a pretty chaotic week for us, we are going to go over Summer House.
Yep.
Episode 2. We actually already did episode 1's breakdown with Ryan Bailey. If you didn't listen to that, go listen to Ryan's show. That was a lot of fun with us 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so.
Time doesn't matter anymore. And so we're going to go through Summer House today, and we're going to make sure that we get everybody caught up with our feelings. And I know Steele's got some concerns.
Oh, I have a lot of feelings. I was appalled.
Yeah, were you appalled? A hot little potato?
I was.
Hot big potato?
I was a burnt potato. Ooh. I was so hot. We'll get to it. I don't want to do it right now. Let me just say that kind of behavior from any human being in regards to somebody that is in active sobriety is fucking ridiculous. And it really, truly upset me. Not just from...
Didn't grind your gear.
It didn't grind my gear. It was just flat out like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. This is really, 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 really appalling. I was taken aback. I even knew it was going to happen because I've seen clips on Instagram. And watching it actually happen was way different. And it did. It hit me right in the stomach. I hated it.
Yeah, it was tough to watch, and obviously we'll break that down as best we can without trying to get too emotional.
But I have a funny thing we could do before we get there, kind of bring up the vibes a little. I feel like we're bumming pretty hard right now, but first and foremost, to reiterate, tomorrow is our live show. I would imagine there's still a few tickets left, but if you go on City Winery's Instagram, we got a low ticket alert next to ours, and that's not a lie. So if you want to come to the show, this is your last chance to get tickets. There's only a few left. I think there is one table still of four if you want to sit with other people.
It's kind of scattered with ones and twos pretty much for the rest. There's really not a lot left.
Yeah, so jump on those tickets, come out and hang out with the bros. It's going to be a blast. And then we have another show that we need your support at. I looked at the venue today. It's like a real theater. It's like a legit venue. Not that City Winery is not, but this is more of like an actual stage, actual seats.
Is this where, who was it? I guess Robin and Giselle did their tour.
Oh, shit.
Is this where they did it? And they had
I don't think so, because that if we get reasonably shadied at reasonably shady's event space, I'll be really bummed out. But the point there being,
I will personally pay people to go so that we don't have that vision.
I will too. Yeah. Because here's the thing. It's a big room. I think it's like 200 seats, maybe a little bit more. Please, please, please get tickets to DC. That is on May 3rd. It is a Friday night. So come out and support the bros. We need you to show up in droves. I want to fill that room. That would be the coolest thing ever if we have a packed house. So if you're on the fence, you're teetering, you're not sure, just do it. Just do it, man.
Just do it, man.
Nike that, John. Just do it and get your tickets to DC at the Union Stage. That is May 3rd. And the last one, this is a big, big notice.
Yeah,
right.
I honestly wanted to shuffle it a little bit to say, hey, by the way, you might want to go look at the Boston tickets right now because, let's be honest, we're almost sold out.
We are almost sold out of Boston already, and that is not until June. So if you're like biding your time for that one, go get your tickets like immediately because we were taken aback. We got our ticket count today, and we were both like, whoa.
It was the first update that we even got about the Boston thing. Like, we had announced it, what, 2 weeks ago? Maybe three at this point?
I think three.
And we didn't really look at it because we have the Philly one coming up. We've got DC coming up. And we looked at the ticket count today. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So if you're in Boston, you're planning on going, do it now.
Do it now.
Do it now. Seriously. Right now. While you're listening to this, you can multitask. Yeah. I believe in you.
Anywho, I do have something funny to read. And this, it's kind of funny. It's also an answer that we needed, and somebody was nice enough to reach out in our DMs. They requested that they rename Maneless.
We rename them?
Rename Are Maneless.
Are we renaming them?
Yeah, sure. We can rename them. And this is from, I'm not clever enough in the moment, but anyway.
Jim Bob Cooter.
And that is a football coach, if you don't know.
The offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
Yep. So, anywho, this comes to us on Instagram, and like I said, they prefer to be nameless, but this is a response when I asked what the beef is between CRNAs and anesthesiologists.
Okay.
We got an answer.
Is it long-winded?
It's a little long-winded, but I'll try to sum it up. But anyway, it says, the fight between CRNAs and anesthesiologists is real. It all goes back to scope of practice. Anesthesiologists want limited scope from CRNAs and site quality concerns. Healthcare professional shortages are very real, and CRNA provides a more affordable option at a comparable quality. It's similar to the idea of allowing a pharmacist to diagnose common ailments. So that's like to sum it up right there.
Okay.
All right. So apparently this feud is a real thing, and I guess it comes from just cost effectiveness. It's cheaper to get a nurse anesthetist to do the same job as an anesthesiologist. However, it does say at the end of this message, they are not doctors. That is the root of all of this. That is what I got so up in arms about. The fight was never, and we're not getting into it, but the fight was never about anyone disparaging Anna Marie's job. It was simply saying, you are not a doctor. But I guess that the feud is actually real.
Okay. So the takeaway is that the feud is definitely real. And nurse anesthetists are not doctors.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. If you ask me to repeat the first two sentences, I would have nothing for you.
You don't have to.
I zoned out immediately. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I noticed.
You started reading it, and I was like, "What? I don't, you know." I don't think I care about it anymore.
I don't either.
I'm so over it. And also, the subject, the content is so goddamn boring.
Yes.
So, yeah, no. I mean, we're in reality TV, so we try to keep it exciting.
But you got an answer. Anybody out there, there is an actual feud going on. I was curious about it, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. We are here to talk Summer House. We are two episodes in, and let me tell you, Summer House came to play this season, and I am excited because last year was not awesome. I think that they have done a much better job in these first two episodes. I think that West is a fantastic addition. I have concerns about Jesse, but I do think that he brings a fun dynamic to the house. I'm liking this cast so far, except for two people, which is interesting because it's the same two people I had a problem with last year, and one of them I think would be a lot of fun without the other one.
Yep, I would agree wholeheartedly. I mean, there's just no other way to get around it. And we, you know, I had my concerns, of course, going into the season once again, because after last year we saw not only just the Lindsay and Carl of it all, but they weren't having fun.
No.
And we talked about this so many different times to the point where Carl actually stood up and defended the show and came on and talked to us. It was just so boring. They went to bed at 9:30, and there was a point in this episode where before Danielle brought out the fog machine, I thought the party was over.
Nope.
I just saw people kind of milling around. You know, they were eating things. Sierra was trying to find the microwave, and it was 9:30, and I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. We're doing this again?
Nope, they brought it back.
It is the 4th of July. It is the Saturday of the 4th of July weekend, and you guys are going to bed at 9:30 again. I can't do it.
They didn't.
I know they didn't.
So relax.
Look, I'm nervous.
This is like PTSD shooter. You're like, you're getting all amped up over it. It's not last year, bud. We're good.
Are you sure?
Not yet.
You can't guarantee that.
Not yet. You're right. You're right. But we have, look, these two episodes, the first one especially, are better than any episode last season. And I will stand by that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I can't disagree because I think I blocked out most of last season in my brain. So
that's fine. It's fine.
It works.
Let's jump into this when we pick back up where we left off last week, and that is with Amanda and Kyle feuding. And we saw a scene last week where Kyle was confiding in Paige about just some issues that him and Amanda have been having. And the root of all of it seems to be communication. And Kyle wants certain things, Amanda wants certain things, but they can't seem to get on the same page about it. But Amanda's like fed up. She's done with it. And she has been pushed to a point, and I'm trying to see both sides of this as well as I possibly can. And I completely understand why Amanda got up in arms about it. He's telling her that she's not ready for a kid, which is a really dumb thing to say to your spouse that wants a child. Like, that's probably not the way to go about it. As we know, Kyle's not always the best with words. But Amanda just says that he's projecting all of his shit onto me. He's saying that because he's so stressed, because he's a workaholic and this and that and this and that, he expects this out of me. And he's saying that we're not ready for a kid.
I mean, I could kind of see that standpoint. And this is really the only way that I can see this, at least in Kyle's brain. Him and Amanda spend so much time together with work and at home.
Yeah.
To the point where they don't even know how to separate those boundaries. So when it comes down to, are we both, quote unquote, ready to raise a child? I think what Kyle's doing is he's seeing that their entire lives are just completely merged together at this point between the two facets of, you know, a lot of times people have time to go to work and you kind of separate things and it's not always, you know, business all the time or whatever. So I think what he's doing is he is projecting, but in his brain, he's not actually projecting. He's looking at them as one organism at this point.
Oh, that's
where it's just the two of us. Like, we are stressed out with work and at home, and we see each other all the time, and it's not working, whatever's going on. And again, they're not communicating. But I think that what he's saying is, if we throw a child into this, I can't handle that. So I'm imagining you can't handle that because the two of us can't handle this as it is.
He's speaking.
I think he's speaking as
you
one.
As we.
Yeah, it's like they merged into one soul.
Which is fair. I mean, I could see where you're coming from, but regardless, how you articulate that is very important.
And he's not great at articulating.
No, he didn't do a great job of it. I get why she's upset. I get why he's stressed out. Like, that's what's interesting about this feud between the two of them. There's usually like a clear-cut winner. Like, it's usually Kyle being a fucking moron.
Yep.
In this instance, I think Kyle went about it the wrong way, a very wrong way.
By talking to Paige or?
No, not by talking to Paige. But when Amanda lays it out later when they're at lunch and she's like, you know, I'm constantly hearing where I'm falling short.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to our friends and saying, like, you're reiterating that to Paige. I think it's a really good idea for him to confide in Paige because Paige is so close to Amanda. But again, how you articulate that across is very important. Had he said to her something along the lines of, like, we're struggling right now.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about a kid. And not make it so personal, because I think that that's her big issue, is she doesn't feel supported by him and she feels like he is projecting all of this. Like, this is your fault that things are kind of haywire right now. I'm working my ass off. I need you to pick up the slack. Meanwhile, Amanda is trying to get through to Kyle in some way, shape, or form so they can just kind of get on the same page, and they're just butting heads. They're not hearing each other.
And I think they're not hearing each other at all. And I think that, look, at the end of the day, I think that it really does come down to Kyle in this one. Amanda's going to do what Amanda's going to do. It's her choice at this point. Like, if she, that's the other thing about being in a partnership. Amanda wants this. So Kyle can't just immediately say, no, we're not ready, and then shut it down completely. Like, you have to have the conversation about it. And they're not really having that conversation. He's also, again, projecting everything by saying Amanda's not really ready. Amanda doesn't know what she wants. She's stressed out with this and that and whatever. It would go a long way, especially in the conversation with Paige, if he were to take ownership.
Say we, say, or we, I.
Not even just the we, just the I. Like, yeah. I'm super stressed out, and I don't think that she's ready for it. He didn't really go about it that way. He went about it telling Paige what Amanda feels.
Well, even then, he's saying, I don't think she is. He should just say, I don't know if I am. Because that's what it, like, what really is happening here is Kyle's not sure if he's ready.
And he's putting that. I think to an extent, he's not sure if we're ready. Like,
I agreed.
If the two of them are ready.
Agreed. But I think a lot of it has to do with his own thing and then them as a couple right now. And again, like, you get in this weird middle ground when you are working with your partner, because Kyle's a workaholic. He grinds his ass off to make Loverboy as successful as possible. Amanda works for Loverboy. He wants certain things out of it that she's not delivering on. And that, how the fuck do you have that conversation?
No idea.
I mean? Like, you can't talk to your wife like she's an employee. So that's really awkward and uncomfortable. So there's a lot of dynamics here that I'm curious how they're going to play out. I will say it's always nice, though.
I think they need to have a therapy session with HR on one side and a therapist on the other.
No, that sounds like a disaster waiting to happen.
I just want to see them film that really bad.
But let's keep going because we're going to get back to them a little bit later. We do get to see more of West and Sierra vibing. I like this couple a lot. I'm a big West fan to begin with.
I like West a lot too, but I'm tired of every single season we have a, is Sierra going to couple up with somebody new in the house? Like, she's no, I'm done with it.
I am
She's
too.
Great. She's awesome.
No, I agree. But when it comes to like making a decision to like, okay, I'm gonna, it's always like, he's funny, but that's not enough. It's like,
I know. I just don't want them to couple up. Maybe I'm selfish. Single. Maybe I'm selfish, but I know that the way that this house operates, when people are single, they tend to go out and they tend to have a lot more fun. When they couple up, they stay inside, they go to bed early, they don't party as much, and I hate it.
That's fair, but I don't know.
You root for love in like all of these shows, especially when you like, really like one person.
I do, yeah.
You really like West, and I can tell. You want what's best for him, and you think that it's with Sierra.
You
because you also like Sierra, which is great, and that's awesome on a personal level. From an entertainment standpoint, I don't give a shit.
Do you know why I like West, though?
Why?
Because it's like one of us got on TV. It's like one of the guys. Like, he's a dude.
We are on TV, pal.
Oh, shut the fuck up. I just mean, like, it's that kind of vibe where I'm like, we would hang out with this guy. Like,
yeah. No, I get that. I fully understand where you're coming from. I just know how this show operates.
Why do you hate them?
I know how this show operates. Do you want to watch?
Hate love?
Do you want them to go to Barry's boot camp at 8 o'clock
no.
in the morning, get some little coffee date and all this stuff? Like, that's real fun.
Why are you talking to me?
Talking to you because that's
why?
What you want.
You
want a baby show.
Me?
I want a fun
want a
show.
Baby show.
You want a baby
what?
Show.
You want what show?
I want
you
a
want?
Fun show.
Oh, I thought you said something else. I want a fuck show. I was like, that's disgusting.
That is disgusting. That's like Love Island. We don't go into that.
I was very thrown off.
Yeah, no.
That brings us to our other newbie. What's your thoughts and feelings? Your T's and F's on Jesse Solomon.
First off, T's and F's to everybody out there.
Yeah. Thoughts and feelings.
Thoughts and feelings. Really like that. Jesse, it's hard to get a read on him. When he comes in with douchebag energy.
Yeah, big time.
Big time. Like, huge douchebag. The way that he's talking about, God, that one fucking confessional, actually. No. I think he is just a full
blown killer.
Look,
I'm a killer.
I get with chicks. Like,
sick,
God,
though.
Dude.
Yeah.
Fucking, come
and
on, man.
And he's hitting on Paige out of the gate. I didn't like that.
Part of me thinks that it's a bit of a front. I think that
that's interesting.
I think he's actually kind of a sweet guy deep down, and maybe we'll get to see that. I would like to see that. I want to see both ends of that because that could make for good TV. It can make for a good castmate, and we can see a little bit more of that. So when he starts off and he's talking about Paige and like he's not concerned if any of the people in the houses have girlfriend or have boyfriends,
he's not concerned if anyone in the world.
Yeah,
has
he
a
just
boyfriend.
Doesn't care. He's like, look, I'm not going to steal your girl, but like I get chicks. It's like, dude, like come on, man, like just fucking. First off, you're not 24. Like I could see a 24-year-old coming into this house.
How old
on
is
this
he?
Show? He's like in his late 30s.
What?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so?
Someone posted something earlier
with
their age.
He's friends with people. Oh, let's see. All right, so Steele is right. He's not his late 30s, but he's 30. So that's still it's kind of the same thing.
I agree.
A 30-year-old guy walks like once you hit your late 20s, you
28,
can't.
28, I believe, is the number.
I think that's okay.
I think 28 is the number where it's like, all right, don't say like douchey fuckboy things anymore.
Yeah, but you can't be 30 on TV saying I get chicks and not worried about. Yeah,
chicks.
No, none of that. But I do think that it's a bit of a front.
That's so funny you said that. There is a part of me that had that same inkling, and it was when he, and we'll get to it in a little while, but obviously he reveals that he is a 2-time cancer survivor, and that seemed like genuine Jesse. And obviously it's a very serious subject, and obviously we're thrilled that he beat cancer twice. That's amazing. Good for him. Regardless of how we feel about him saying that he's a lady killer, that's amazing that he was strong enough to beat cancer not once, but twice. So obviously flowers to him there. My only thing, like you were saying, that's so interesting, because when I watched that scene when he was talking to them about surviving cancer, I did get a sense that I was like, I think that this is a softer guy than he's trying to portray. I think that maybe he's getting on TV and he's like, all right, I got to mix it up at the summer house. I got to be like that guy. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get chicks. And
yeah.
I'm going to like cause a scene and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that's
who
he is.
Look, I mean, he did say he got a lot of perspective from all of that. And you can go one of two ways from that. You can look inward and say, you know, I'm thankful for the people that are around me and I'm going to be a little softer. Or you could say, fuck it. I don't care about anything.
I don't think that's him.
I don't know, dude.
We're going to find out.
I waffle on it, you know?
You what?
Waffle.
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 I've never heard that.
No? You flip waffles back and forth.
Oh. You go, say pancake. I burger it.
I burger it.
But we get to the after party, and again, West is also, like, he's fitting in with everybody. Everyone's vibing with West. Everybody fucks with West. You love to see that. I need to call out one thing before we get to the following morning. Sierra calls it Ibiza.
Yep.
That was upsetting.
Sure does.
I didn't care.
He wasn't even there. That was the best part.
I know.
I've never been there, but I'm going to call it Ibiza.
I'm going to call it Ibiza.
And I think she was doing it completely unironically.
It was unironic, and it was upsetting to all of our listeners out there.
We're sorry. T's and F's.
And it's Ibiza. Okay.
It's Ibiza.
It's Ibiza.
We're in America.
Yeah, well, this is America. It's Ibiza. All right. If you say Ibiza, you better be from there.
I've spent at least a few college semesters there.
Yes. That's a good, yeah. If you have not studied
you're
abroad.
You're still a douchebag, but, you know, at the end of the day.
But you're like not as much of one.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we get to the next morning with Kyle and Amanda, and this is where she's like hit her end of her rope. She's ready to go home. And everyone's leaving the house, but she's trying to kind of rush out of there. I was confused, and I got clarified later when she said that my issue was you talking to Paige about me and blah, blah, blah. So I got it after that. In this moment, I was really confused.
So was I.
Because Kyle was confused. And he's like, you know, this is reminiscent of back in the day when I stayed up way too late, got way too drunk, made an ass out of myself. We saw pretty standard Kyle the night before. Like, yeah, he was drunk, and yeah, he was doing Kyle things, but he was out of hand.
He was looking at the banana.
Yeah, he was hanging out with Mon. He was hanging out with Mon, and he said to him, what did he say?
I really like your vibe.
Yeah, I really like your vibe, or like you're always like cheerful or something like that.
You're always in a good mood.
Yeah. So I was confused because he tries to talk to Amanda, and she's having none of it. And I was like, damn, I was like, what did he do last night? Because I didn't see anything bad. He doesn't seem to remember anything bad that he did. But we do find out, especially when Paige goes upstairs, that's when we get the full story. It's like she's just done with him saying everything that he doesn't like about her, pretty much. And I think that, and we're doing a lot of psychoanalysis of Kyle today, but to me, what that is one, projecting, as we already talked about, but two, I think that this is how Kyle operates, and you can confirm this because you watched a lot more Summer House. He's very, very pragmatic to a fault. He looks at this like a situation, like almost like a business situation where it's like, I need to do this, 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 and this to figure this out. And it's not working and it's frustrating him. Meanwhile, Amanda on the other side is like, I need you to stop saying these things because it's hurting my feelings. But Kyle's just trying to name the problem so that they can figure them out.
Yeah.
And I think that lack of communication is coming into play major here because Kyle's not understanding what Amanda needs. And Amanda's taking everything he's saying personally, which I think anybody would. I don't think Kyle means it maliciously. I think he's just trying to list off what they need to fix, and that's how he operates.
Yeah, and I feel like with Kyle specifically, there's a hint of frustration in there because, I mean, they're married. They spend a lot of time off camera together, obviously, and I think that this was a bit of a spillover from things that they've been discussing for weeks and weeks at this point. And that is a byproduct of them working together, too. I mean, that whole pragmatic approach to everything that they're doing in their relationship is because they probably have a ton of business discussions together too. So it's really hard to kind of separate those two lives. And I do think, and we've talked to a crazy extent about the psychosis of getting into Kyle and everything like that.
I don't think psychosis is
no,
the right word.
Psychoanalytics.
No.
Psychoanalytics.
The psychology of Kyle.
All right, fine. Psychology of
psychosis
Kyle.
Is like when you lose
when
your
you
mind.
Go crazy. Yeah. Well, I mean, we could go crazy by doing
we
this.
We could talk about
the
psychosis of Kyle too. Yeah,
we could do the psychosis of the Brav Bros. I mean,
I've lost my mind a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. Same. But anyway, what I want to take away from this is I'd like to see more of Paige and Kyle being able to discuss things because Paige could be a really good go-between.
She
understands the emotional side of Amanda that it seems like Kyle is completely missing. And look, I think that he understands some of it, but at the end of the day, a best friend is probably going to be able to pick up on that. Mm. And what I saw from this, at least with Paige and Amanda sitting down, Paige wasn't doing what she used to do, where if Kyle was being an asshole, she would kind of rev Amanda up.
She would get her.
Yeah. You know, I was being a little, you know, I was footing around there, but she kind of took Kyle's side at first because Amanda immediately said he was talking shit. And she's like, no, he wasn't talking shit. He was just talking about what you guys were going through. And I was like, whoa, weird.
I thought the same thing.
Very odd. And that added to my confusion because I was confused as it was. But I do want to see more of that because I think that can help. And it brings a different element to this, especially with Paige being in a good relationship with Craig. Like, she understands a little bit more. Maybe she can learn a bit from this and a little bit from that. You know, a little mutual beneficial relationship.
Yeah, I hope
so. I'd like
so.
To see it.
I think it would be great for Kyle. I genuinely think it'd be great for Kyle just because...
This is what happens when we like all of the people that are involved in, like, an issue, too.
I know. It's great. Do you take daily vitamins?
I do.
Do you like them?
Not really.
Why?
It's just the process of having to wake up in the morning and remember one more thing of taking a handful of pills.
Yeah, dude, it drives me nuts. Like, I try to take, like, different things. Like, for my hair, I try to take different things for, like, my liver support, my circulation, like... I have like 15 different things that I try to take, and I forget at least one of them daily. And you know me, I forget things on the reg.
Oh, yeah.
So I was trying to find a solution, like something that was a little bit easier to take. And let me tell you about AG1 real quick. Because with AG1, it's one scoop and you get all of your daily vitamins. It's much easier. It's much quicker. It tastes great. And with just that one scoop, it covers all my nutrient gaps. It supports my mental and my physical health. And it takes like maybe a minute, like at most like 60 seconds.
Sounds efficient.
It's super efficient.
Love that.
And it gives me all of the vitamins and support that I need. It helps me focus. It helps my energy. And it just makes it much easier to maintain that daily habit instead of trying to sort through 15 bottles that I bought from CVS or something or some random Instagram post. I'm like, oh, try this. AG1 makes it simple.
How does it make you feel?
Since drinking AG1 daily, I've felt stronger, I've felt more focused, more energized. Not only does AG1 deliver my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more, but it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. If you want to take ownership of your health this year, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/bravbros. That's drinkag1.com/bravbros.
I want to ask you a question.
Shoot.
What do you do when you're shopping online?
I buy too many things, and then I forget what I bought, and then it shows up, and I don't need it.
Well, that's the wrong answer. The right answer is you jump to the reviews because you want to see what people are talking about, and you want to see how good a product is. That's what I do. I always go right to the reviews. I want to take a look and see what other people that are buying similar products are saying about something that I might want to buy, you know?
That's a much better plan than my move.
Yeah, that's definitely a good plan. Well, here at Bowl & Branch, they do all the hard work for you. And in a recent customer survey, 96% said that Boll & Branch sheets, they get softer with every wash.
Guess what? I can attest to this because we got our Boll & Branch sheets. They genuinely get softer. This is not like just me trying to plug. They do get softer with each wash. When I go to bed at night, it's like a nice, you know, like a 5-star. You get like a Ritz hotel for like a staycation. You slide into that bad boy. That's the level we're talking here.
It's incredible. Honestly, I got my Boll & Branch sheets, and I look forward to going to bed every night because I know I'm going to be comfy, I'm going to be cozy, and I'm going to go right to sleep.
Some would say they're buttery. I love that adjective for them because it's like, imagine sliding into like a pallet of butter without like getting butter on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's a really good one. I mean, I feel the exact same way. I get excited about that. And I honestly want to wash my sheets more and more, but I have to stop myself because I know every time that I wash them, they're going to get a little softer and I look forward to it. And I try to make sure that I don't do it too much, you know? You can sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code BravBros at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollandBranch.com. Promo code BravBros. Exclusions apply. See site for details. It's we great. Can just support.
Supportive.
Just sitting here just supporting.
Yeah, just a couple of not bros bashing. Supporting.
Yep.
See, we're not always bashers.
Yep.
We're a lot of the time we are. Yeah. I'm gonna get to bashing later this episode. Don't you worry if that's
what
you're here for.
If you read our reviews, we only bash the women on these shows.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Jesus. Yeah. Despite the fact that I think three of our most viral videos ever are about shit-talking the dudes on the show. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. We've moved past that. But everyone's packing up to leave, and Danielle points it out. This was a great weekend, guys. This might be the best weekend yet. And we have a very interesting moment with Gabby because she was apprehensive about coming back to the house. Last summer was rough for everybody involved.
Yeah.
The viewers, the people in the house, it didn't go well at all. And Gabby's friends with Lindsay and Carl. Her having this realization in a confessional where she's like, this weekend was really great, and I was apprehensive about coming back to the house. I came back. We had such a fantastic weekend. Lindsay and Carl might be the issue. I mean, we've all seen it watching at home, because as soon as they are presented back to the house, it's like oil and water. It doesn't mix well. But to see a friend of Lindsay's and somebody that's close with Carl be like, yeah, they're the problem. That's a big moment. And I think that everybody in the house, without saying it flat out, like in the house, and I'm sure they're saying it behind closed doors or whatever, that's the problem. I'm not saying that those two individually are the problem, but those two together are absolutely the problem.
Yeah.
They bring all the vibes down.
I think Lindsay's the problem, though.
I agree, especially after watching this fucking episode.
I guess, look, it's reality TV, so Danielle's going to throw some shade a little bit there. I didn't like that she pointed it out right away. Like,
you,
hey, guys,
fester on it.
Yeah. I wanted people to be like, whoa, this was really great. And then the next weekend it'd be shit, and which be it like, was. And they're like, oh, there we go. Okay. Which they kind of did anyway. But, you know, Danielle was saying it because she knows what's coming. And her saying that this was the best weekend ever, it's like, all right, just calm the fuck down. You've been on the show for a few years now. Like, you, there have been better weekends. Let's relax.
Well,
don't push your agenda here.
The next scene, we get to check in with Carl and Lindsay, and they're in the city. And I just wrote down at the top, so I didn't forget to say it, vibes, question mark. Because did you feel like they were cohesive in this scene? Or did
the
this
most
feel
unproduced scene I've ever seen in my right? entire life, dude.
And like when they're talking about the wedding stuff, and this could be production doing Carl dirty, but he seemed very nervous about the conversation. He did not seem that excited about it. He seemed to be like feigning a smile. Like, I think that a lot of the things that we're going to watch play out, and when we had Craig on, he told us this. He said, you're going to watch this whole entire thing play out over the season. You're going to get to see pretty much everything. But there's already flags. I'm already watching this scene between the two of them. I'm like, this is awkward.
The start of the scene was, and obviously we ended 4th of July weekend in the Hamptons, and that is normally summer house. When we went back to New York, all of a sudden it seems like a shitty Hallmark movie. Where it's like, oh, we've got like different camera angles of Lindsay walking up with water and she's chirping Carl while he's playing basketball.
I hated it.
And he's playing with his friends. It's like, all right, enough. Like, I get it.
I hated it.
Here's Carl with other friends. Okay, we get it. He has other friends. Great. He's playing basketball. Even better. Lindsay's supportive. She's coming out with water and she's saying babe a million times. Like, I fucking understand. You could have skipped most of that. Just did a little montage of her walking and him playing basketball and then them sitting down immediately. You didn't have to do all of this to show us, whoa, look at this. They're a supportive couple. Like, fuck off.
Look at you with your productive eyes.
I hated
there.
That, dude.
I hated that whole scene. And obviously, because I know what happens at the end of the season, I'm looking at everything so, so in depth. Body language, how they're looking at each other. Like, literally any little sign I can get, I'm trying to find it. The babe conversation, to me, spoke way louder than it seemed. Because when he says, I'm not going to call you babe this summer, I'm going to call you dude. He was 100% serious.
Yep.
And I like to think that we had something to do with that because we made fun of him when he came on our podcast about it. But regardless, I mean, everybody made fun of the babe thing. But her reaction to it, she's like, oh, you're going to really let what other people think, like keep you from saying that, like blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, it's not that fucking deep. It's a word. It's a word that is overused by the two of you. It's annoying. And him trying to make this statement lightly, just by calling you a different name, you already got pissed about that. And now you're already saying, oh, other people are going to dictate how we talk to each other. Like, that's bullshit. You amped it up to a level that it didn't need to go to. And for me, red flag. And I'm trying to count them all up. I'm trying to see where they're not vibing. And it was the same thing when she's talking about the wedding. And she's like, and maybe next summer I'll be pregnant. Who knows? It flashes to Carl's face. He's trying to smile, but he looks nervous as shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot more things at work here, too. And that's the thing. If you're a fucking cringy couple and you're calling each other babe all the time, your friends should make fun of you and then you stop doing it.
Yes.
Like, that is how that works.
You shouldn't make a statement by being like, no, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. No, that would be insane. That would make no sense.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it at all. And you can tell right away. And this is... It's just the idea of going back to that house, being on this show with all the people that did not support your relationship last year is weighing very heavily on Lindsay.
Clearly.
To the point where even like leading up to that, and obviously, you know, we're talking about the engagement, we're talking about getting married, all of those things, Lindsay seems fine and light. And yeah, obviously, you know, it's still Lindsay, so she's talking very matter of fact. And you can see Carl's things, but whatever. Lindsay completely changes when Carl brings up the summer.
Yeah.
And that's really all it is. As soon as he brings up going to that house, Lindsay changes and she's worried about this and it's got to be hanging over. And look, I get it. Like, I fully understand. You are living in your own little love bubble in New York. You've got your very expensive apartment that people are wondering how you even afford it, all of those things. I don't know what's going on with your friendships in life. I don't know who you're hanging out with in the city, but it seems like you're at least okay there. Once you go to this house, everything changes. So you have to be fucking worried about that. I get that to a point. And it's nice to at least see that Lindsay's worried about it, but not in this way.
No.
Not to the point where now you have to take it out on Carl. Carl's your lifeline.
Yeah.
If anything, you should be going up there knowing that you have each other's backs, not fucking whatever the hell that was. You're immediately against each other because Carl's saying, look, I don't want to get made fun of, so let's just drop it.
Yeah,
not a big deal.
Stop doing it.
It's not that deep.
Yeah, but see, to me, that spoke volumes. Yeah. That little thing right there spoke volumes to me. But moving on, we get a quick scene with Ciara. She's trying to get back into modeling, and you know, she's trying to crack into the New York fashion scene. I'm pretty sure she is modeling now, so I guess it worked. But that's when we get to the Kyle and the Amanda date, and they're able to squash things here. You know, Kyle says, I'm overwhelmed by the day today because I feel like a lot of this shit falls on me, whether that be our taxes, whether that be the business stuff. It just seems like the daily chores, like the adulting chores, seem to be leaning on him. And meanwhile, he's also trying to work a lot. And she is there in confessional saying, I'm never going to be that person. I'm not going to work that hard. Now, that's okay on both sides. All right. The problem is they're unable to have this conversation where Kyle can understand, because I thought she did a nice job of voicing it and saying, if these fights don't turn out the way they do, if you're not listing off things that I'm not good at and making me feel insecure and sad, I don't crawl in bed and feel like shit for a few days and I'm unproductive. Meanwhile, Kyle's saying, I need you to be able to do more and help me out and support me because I don't feel like this is a partnership right now. Both things can be true. There's a way that you can come to terms with that where Kyle understands her emotions. You can't list off the things you're not liking about her and expect her to rise to the occasion because you're her husband. And you pretty much told your wife you're not ready to have a kid, which is ludicrous. Now, on the flip side, I hope that Amanda can see where Kyle's coming from in some ways where it's like, yeah, I've got a lot on my plate. I need some help. I think that we saw them, at least in this moment, be able to smooth it over. And I think that that's something that's always good about these two, is that they're always able to reach an agreement where they come back together. We see at the end of the episode, they're laying in bed talking shit about Lindsay and Carl and holding hands at the end of the night, which, you know, nothing brings a couple together like watching another couple just fucking catch flame. It just fizzle out.
Really puts your problems into perspective.
It sure does.
And that's the thing, is like, this isn't a small issue. This is obviously something that is much bigger than, you know, it'll get bigger. They'll have to get through the communication. They'll have to get through pretty much everything. And it comes down to, do you want to have a family?
Yeah.
Like, this is what it comes down to. And that's a big question for a newly wedded couple. When did they get married? Did they get married last year or the year before?
I think it was two years ago now. Yeah.
So yeah. So I mean, you're 2 years into your marriage, so you're thinking about these things. You need to be able to discuss them, but at least you're thinking.
Yeah.
And if you need a terrible couple next door who is crashing and burning to put things into perspective for you, and then you start talking about this, good.
You're in the right house.
There you go. Yeah.
You know what? I think, you know, now that we've talked about it more, this to me is screaming that Kyle's not ready, period. And I think that him lashing out is his insecurities, and he's putting them on Amanda because there's a lot of things that I don't want to say not happy with, but things that are frustrating him with her. And I think that it is showing in the form of he is very, very nervous at the prospect of having a child, which he does talk about later. Just say that. Just say that. And then you can say, these are the reasons why I'm nervous, because I feel like a lot of the day-to-day falls on me. And with my job, I won't be able to do all of that. That's a different way to put it. That's a communicative way to put it.
Yeah.
I was going to say a communication way to put it.
Kyle has a really hard time opening up, and we haven't really seen him open up too much to any. Honestly, he's opened up more on TV to strangers and like new people in the house
than he
has to like Amanda and Carl.
That's interesting.
Unless it's forced. And then once it's forced, then he kind of like completely breaks down. So I think that's probably like culprit number one for this, is if he is feeling these things, he's not opening up enough. And again, I mean, what are we, therapists here?
No.
I feel like at this point we're just getting
I'm a personal trainer, so part of my job is like unlicensed therapy.
You said that, yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But moving on, we get Jesse and Wes. They're driving there. I do like this duo. I think they're funny together. The clip of them at the game where he's feeding him a chicken nugget. I'm like, they're just two dudes. It's just the bros.
Couple of bros.
Couple of bros hanging out. But I didn't care for the way that, once again, he brought up Paige. It's like, and maybe this is like Carl bias, or maybe this is Craig bias, because I'm like, don't fuck with her. That's like, she's with Craig. But at the same time, like, to come into a house and just be like, I'm going to hook up with anybody, regardless of their situation, especially people that have been mainstays, which means you've seen the show.
Yeah.
You've seen Craig, and you don't give a fuck. I don't like that. I don't think that's like a fun, quirky thing. I think it's gross.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. And it's weird because we've got two ends of the spectrum back-to-back seasons where we had Chris last year, who was unbelievably respectful of everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point where, you know, he didn't hook up with anybody pretty much the entire summer, except the one girl.
Chick at the end.
He hooked up with one chick at the end of the summer. That's great. But he got, you know, shut down along the way a bunch of different times.
Yeah.
So we had that end of the spectrum. Now we've got Jesse, who's like, I don't care if you're in a relationship or not.
Actually, I prefer if you're in a relationship, because those are the best ones, according to him.
Yeah. I guess he's not wrong in that regard. Like, you're in a relationship.
They're taken for a reason, I guess. But no, that's also like, that's belittling single people. You just might not have found your person yet.
It is. I did at least appreciate the fact that he didn't also say that he wanted to go after Sierra. Because I don't want them to have...
They don't need to have a feud between West and Jesse. That's not fun. I don't care for that.
I don't care for any of that. So that was good. That was respectful. Boundaries. And I did like the conversation that they had driving up together. It was fun.
Yeah. It was, you know, a couple of bros. But we get to the house and Lindsay and Carl arrive and the room selection's a problem. Because of course it is. But don't worry. She knows the house. The fact that she had to say that in that tone, I hated that. And like it flashes over to Carl's face and... He kind of grimaces a little bit. There's just a lot of red flags.
Dude, this is the thing. They know West. They're friends with West.
I know.
Why is she treating him like shit?
I don't know.
That's another friend in the house that you have.
Is it the house?
Fucking nuts. Is it the house? Yeah, is this like a poltergeist situation?
I don't fucking know. It's just weird.
Like, what happens? She walks into the house and she just completely flips the switch. Now, I get it. Again, as I already explained during the basketball scene, you're very uneasy going into all of this. But West is a friend. He is someone that you can use to feel better about the situation and talk to and confide in, and he might be able to comfort you because he seems like a very nice guy. You can do all of those things. You don't burn a bridge right away over a goddamn fan.
No, not the hot room in the house. And then
he didn't even care about the house. He was like, or the room. He was like, you know what? You can have the room, but can I take the fan?
Yeah.
Give him the goddamn fan. He's giving you the room.
Well, she needed the room with the bathroom.
Fine.
And she gets the room with the bathroom. She's pissed off about the room. West is just trying to get his shit and leave. He's like, you know what? I'm in the middle. I don't want to be in the middle. I'm out, which I love that. And he just bounces, but she's already pissed off about the room. And again, is this just the house? Is it the people in the house?
It's like, the people.
I don't know, man. But we get a scene with Danielle and Kyle, and they're talking about Lindsay and Carl and like, what's this like? How's it feel for you? Because it's got to be a little bit awkward. And I did appreciate that she has gotten to the point now where I don't think she'll ever be out on a friendship with Lindsay. And as we know that they have reconnected since Lindsay and Carl have split. But she has the wherewithal in this scene to say, I don't want the relationship we had. That's gone, which is true. That's gone. You're not getting that back. But maybe there's something there, that something new that we can pursue together as a friend. Like, I'm open to it. But she also declares that this is fun summer for Danielle. So we'll see what that looks like. But
I don't know if it's going to be that fun.
I don't know. But we get to the wedding invite part. And Danielle got invited to the wedding, has not replied yet. And of course, in that moment, Lindsay walks by the room. Because of course she does.
Yep.
That's not even production. That's just really bad. Maybe it is the house.
It could be the house.
Maybe it's just this fucking house. Who knows? But we get to dinner. Little surf and turf, thanks to Carl. It looked great. But we do a fun game. And the game is newbies. Let's name something, an interesting fact about you. And West goes first and he says, well, I've been to all 50 states. That is interesting. That's a good one. We get to Jesse and that's when he shares with the group that he's beaten testicular cancer twice. It spread to his stomach. He went through chemo, the whole bit, and has survived, which is amazing. Once again, congratulations. That's awesome. And West hits it with the phenomenal one-liner.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if I went
if I went go second.
First? You couldn't go.
And thankfully, this game did gear up towards the newbies. Yeah. Because at first it was for everybody.
Yeah, I know.
And I did not like the way
no,
that was
going. No.
What is it with these goddamn games?
I don't know. But
can
they,
we stop?
This was a good game.
This was fine because it was the newbies.
And we got to learn something new about Jesse. It allowed for the audience to connect to him in a different way, not just the fuckboy coming in to bang all the women in relationships. So that's good. Allows us to see a different side. And again, this is the scene in which I was like, oh, there's a different side to you. And I don't know if you're actually this party boy that you're trying to be. Maybe you are. Time will tell. But I agree with you in your original assessment that there's more to this than just a guy that's trying to get laid. So we will see how the summer goes.
We will.
But everyone's getting dressed to go out. They're all trying to decide, we going out? It's like, yeah, we're going out. I'm like, hell yeah, we're going out. We haven't been out with the crew in a while. We don't get to go out.
We don't get
to go out. If you were expecting to go out at home, you don't get to go out because we get 1 hour later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And it's Lindsay stomping back into the house. Gabby's close behind her, and she is so pissed off about something. And I guess what had happened, they were in the car on the way there, and Lindsay got in the car with all of the boys. And I'm sure immediately she was feeling some type of way because that's her biggest faux pas in the group, according to the girls in the group. She only hangs out with the dudes. She doesn't take the time to get close with the women in the group. So immediately she is insecure about being in that car. Carl tries to say it's not that deep. Let's just get to the bar, which in my brain, that's exactly how this went.
Yep.
Hey, it's not that big a deal. Let's just get there. And then she goes off on him and starts yelling at him. They get to the bar and it's this whole thing. But I guess in the car, she has the fucking nerve to lean in and ask him, what are you on? What are you on? I'm not getting into it yet because we're going to keep going because there's way more. But she leaves immediately. They get there. She comes home. And the good thing is, this is actually a great idea because when I saw the clip on Instagram where Amanda took notes, I was like, oh, that's kind of grimy.
Yeah.
It's not because she takes notes when she's really drunk so that she can read them the next day and know what they talked about. I was like, that's actually kind of genius.
That's a smart move.
Drunk Amanda.
I actually might start doing
it. I know.
That.
It's really fucking smart, right? That's a great call.
Yeah.
But she reads off her notes and says, one, he's on something. Two, can't do this. Three, he's on something.
Yep.
So multiple times she said that he's on something. And when we get back to the house and she's talking to Gabby, she's like, Lindsay, she's like, Carl was speaking tonight like he was cocaine Carl. This gets even worse as we go. She keeps implying that he has been on something. Carl texts her in this moment, and it's a very, very, very reasonable text, and says, I would like to have the, or I hope we can have the same conversation tomorrow, and hopefully we can see each other's perspective on the matter. It is so, so reasonable. There wasn't even a hint of being an asshole. It was very forthcoming. Let's talk about this tomorrow. You're fucking wasted. This is going to go nowhere. I will listen to you tomorrow. I hope you listen to me.
Now, here's the thing that people might point out. He waited until after he had talked to Gabby to send that text message. He wasn't texting Lindsay beforehand.
So what?
She had said, I'm fine with it. I get it because the way that she left and whatever she accused him of doing, I wouldn't want to text her either. I understand that. She looked at it as like almost like a manipulative situation where it's like, oh, now he cares about me. Now we're going to do this. Now he's going to text me and check in on me. No, like that's no. Just not, this is him saying this now because now Gabby's involved.
Yeah.
And you know what? He knew that Gabby had gone back with you, but now he probably knows. And I would suspect that Gabby probably texted Carl and said, hey, like,
yeah,
this is what's going on. She accused you of being on cocaine. Like, this is fucking insane. Something along those lines. And now he's reaching out. And he's like, look, like, we'll do this tomorrow, but we're certainly not going to do this tonight the way that you are. And it got worse.
she texts him, "Let me know when you're sober."
Mm-hmm.
The next scene, we get a confessional with Carl, and it broke my fucking heart. And as the resident sober guy here, this is something that you cannot fuck with. This is something that you simply don't do because of the ramifications. It goes so much further than just insulting your fiance, by the way. You're getting married to this man, and you are proclaiming on TV that millions of people are going to see that a sober guy is back on drugs. The implication there goes so much further beyond just trying to be mean to somebody that you love, because what you're saying to the world is that he fell off the wagon. He doesn't even have the right to defend himself in this moment because you're drunk at home with cameras everywhere and a fucking microphone, and you're pissed off because you had a rough night by your own doing, and you're going to claim that Carl is no longer sober? And watching him have to talk to us, the audience, and say that I'm physically shaking right now, it literally hit me in the stomach. I was like, I can't imagine how I would react, what I would say if somebody genuinely accused me of being drunk. I would lose my mind. I would genuinely lose my mind. And then I would be so sad. And then I'd be so nervous that other people would hear this and assume anything about me. And that's what she doesn't get. The fact that other people in the house are now talking about that, regardless of whether they believe it or not, they shouldn't be talking about it. They should be proud of Carl for standing strong and being sober. But instead, you're calling into question his sobriety. It is not something that you can just fuck with like that. It's such a fragile thing, and it's also person to person. And we had the opportunity to talk to Carl. Carl's sobriety, I don't know where he's at now. We haven't talked to him in a year. A year ago, it was very fragile, and he's open about that. He hasn't had the easiest road in sobriety, but he stayed sober. That's really fucking hard to do, even if you have a handle on it. So for her to call it into question so willy-nilly because she decided to get fucking drunk and be an asshole about it really broke my heart.
Well, what the fuck did, she even said what Carl had said to her.
Yeah.
Even when she's explaining what he was doing and what he was saying, that doesn't sound erratic.
Not at all.
It sounds like he didn't want to do this right now. It sounds like you're in front of a bunch of people in the house, which, by the way, we've probably talked about, if I'm Lindsay and Carl, a million times before we went up to this house and on the car ride up there. And we're going to talk about it on the car ride back, obviously. So no, this is not one of those situations. This is just a, why are you letting them win situations? Why are you letting them get to you? And they're not even doing anything
to get to you.
People are just nervous because you could melt down at a fucking pin drop. And that's pretty much what happens. Like, this is not their doing at this point. And I get it. There are things that have happened in the last couple of years and you don't feel like they support your relationship. Whatever. Get over it. You have Carl. The two of you can figure it out together. You're not doing that. You're letting them win. And they're not even trying to fucking win. They did nothing. They were nice to you when you walked in.
I don't even want to put blame on them like
that. I'm not putting blame on them at all. Danielle gave you a hug. That could be like public enemy number one. And she's trying to just get through this weekend without it being a shitstorm. Nobody is doing anything. No one is actively plotting against you. Maybe they were last year, but they're not right now. And you're letting it go completely wayward just because of your own doing. And you're blaming Carl, the only other person in the house that could potentially have your back. Now you're leaving this weekend like, oh shit, this is Lindsay. I feel bad for Carl.
Yeah.
You lost.
Exactly. And the worst part about it all, you know, they slept in different rooms. And the next morning she comes back into the bedroom and gives him a water, which I would have done the same fucking thing Carl did. I would have been like, I don't need a water. Not from you, at least. And like, I would have thrown it, though. He was very nice and like put it on the other side of the bed. This scene sucked so much because he's not being unreasonable at all. He's trying to discuss things. He's very frustrated, understandably so. He hasn't even broached the topic that you were walking around this house last night telling everybody that I'm no longer sober. He hasn't even gotten to that point. He's just trying to talk to her. He's trying to have a conversation. She is gaslighting the shit out of him.
Yep.
You treated me like shit last night. Why are you yelling? Why are you so mad? I'll talk to you when you're not mad. He wasn't. Now he is. Because anybody saying that, it's like if you're a little bit cranky and somebody keeps calling you grumpy, now you're in a terrible mood. You're just poking the bear because now you realize how much you fucked up. You're trying to spin this and put the blame back on Carl because you had the nerve to go around the house and tell people that he's back on drugs. And now you're in panic mode. How can I flip this? How can I spin this? I'm going to blame it on him. You shouldn't have treated me like that last night. You were out of line. Go fuck yourself instead of actually looking inward and being like, oh my God, Carl, I got too drunk last night. I'm really sorry. I can't believe that I would ever say one of the worst possible things I could say about you. And let's not even, like, get into the fact that he lost his brother from drugs, which was the big kick in the ass to get off of drugs himself. You're negating all of that with one fucking statement. It's so sad. It's so fucking sad. And I, like, my heart broke for Carl, dude. I can't say it enough. I don't ever want to watch this episode again. I don't ever want to see that again. I hope they don't keep hammering it home, because
they will.
But you don't need to. And this is where, like, TV, it transcends TV. It's no longer reality TV. This is a man's sobriety, a man that's fragile in sobriety, that has worked his ass off to stay sober and has turned his whole entire life around. Let's not fuck with it. Lindsay, do not ever fuck with it again. It's so insane that we're that you and I are sitting here having this conversation. It's wild to me. Like, this is a much bigger deal than just getting attention. Not that I want it to get attention. Let it go away. But fuck me, man.
Yeah, did you see her response?
Her fucking half-assed Instagram response? Uh-huh. Yeah, like, take some fucking accountability. Come out and say, wow, I looked horrible. I am so sorry, Carl. I know we've had our shit, but wow.
It was more that she, and again, timing is everything when it comes to these things. I don't think that this was a problem of Bravo wasn't going to let her apologize on Instagram. Like, come on.
No.
It was, timing is everything. This episode's about to air. Let me get this out there now.
Yes.
A couple hours before it airs to say that I am really sorry for my behavior and I shouldn't have done that. You're more, way more concerned about how you look on TV.
Public perception.
Than you are about what you may have done to Carl.
Yeah.
That's at the end of it. And that's really all it is. And in that moment, even during the scene itself, during when it was live, Lindsay was way more worried about her perception in the house than she was about her fiance.
Yep.
That is all it is.
Well, Carl said it best. This is the person I'm marrying?
Mm-hmm. I did say when we were talking to Ryan Bailey that we weren't going to get any of this until the very end, or at least the breakup.
Immediately.
It happened immediately. First weekend at the house.
This is what Craig...
You can't handle this.
Craig told us. He said, you're going to watch it play out all season.
Yeah, but if it's like this, I don't want to watch this play
all
season.
But you know what I did appreciate? Because we don't see it a lot between the two of them. Carl's very agreeable when it comes to their arguments. He tries to keep the level head. And I'm not saying that that isn't correct. Like, in a relationship, you know, if somebody is a little bit more volatile when you fight, then you need the level-headed person, so you kind of even each other out, you get through it. It's not saying it can't work. I'm not saying that by any means. But we've seen these two argue, and most of the time, Carl is the one to be a little bit more like, all right. Like, I'm not saying...
Yeah, but he deserved this one to be...
Absolutely.
He should have lost it, yeah.
But we see him at the very end of the scene finally be like, no, like, this is fucking crazy. This is... He pretty much puts the blame on her finally and storms out of the room. And I was like, fucking thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God we didn't have an awkward scene in which you're trying to figure this out, because you don't owe
I don't want to watch.
Right,
I just didn't want to watch him roll over and then they come back to the house next weekend. And it's like, babe. Like, come on.
No,
dude.
This needs to be addressed. And look, I don't know, man.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next week.
We'll see what happens. But it was just genuinely, genuinely tough to watch. But we got lots of questions, so why don't we jump in? And up first, from Carberry Vodka, just excited for the steel rant. Well, you got one, so you're welcome. It wasn't as heated as some of the previous ones have been, but hopefully that...
He's got to keep his energy for Wednesday.
Yeah, hopefully that was good enough.
Oh, Carberry Vodka actually capitalized your name. I think that's making a point.
Oh, is that making
it correctly?
No E at the end. From Ellie Rains, are you still believing that Lindsay was blindsided after this week's episode? Ellie, I never thought she was.
Yeah,
for the record.
We never did.
We took a stance a long time ago.
It's becoming way more clear why Carl has kept quiet.
Right. And like, we took this stance a year ago. We said, we are not jumping to any conclusions because we don't know anything yet. All we've heard is Lindsay's side of things. We've yet to hear from Carl. We're going to sit back and wait for everything to come out. From Charnick 1, was this hard to watch as a sober person? Has something like this ever happened to you? I had one moment where somebody called into question my sobriety, but it wasn't nearly as visceral. It was more of just a question, and the question itself kind of hurt my feelings because this is something that I do want to say, and I know we've talked about it already, but when you question the sobriety of somebody, it makes us then in turn question things. I don't think people understand that. You start looking at yourself and being like, oh, am I being a good enough sober person? Like, am I giving signs that maybe I'm leaning towards one direction? Like, that's what Lindsay doesn't understand. By saying that, you can force the person that's in sobriety to kind of question, maybe I'm not doing a good enough job at this. Am I leaning closer to that side of the street than I want to be? And you start questioning how much control you have over the situation. And that's why it's so fucking dangerous. But no, nothing to this level or magnitude has ever happened like this. No. We'll do one more from Tom Whitreich. Is there a future of Summer House with younger blood? OG's moved to a separate show.
Yeah, it's called Summer House Martha's Vineyard. It comes out in a month.
And it's a fantastic show. And it's all a younger cast. Yeah. And oh, man, I didn't know that was coming out next month.
Yeah, I think April. Something.
Oh, fuck yeah.
End of April.
If you haven't watched that one yet, that's a great show. That is really, really a good show. And if you haven't dove into it yet with the new season coming out, look, we didn't steer you guys wrong on Southern Hospitality. Yeah. We're not steering you wrong here either. Go check out Summer House Martha's Vineyard. I promise you you'll like it. And the next season's coming up, so you got some more shit to watch. But
I got one more here.
All right, later.
I do want to address this. Zach Mellon asked, do you think this is Lindsay's last season and Carl will return fun and single?
Yes.
I am very worried.
Oh, no. Why?
I'm so worried.
No, they're not going to bring Lindsay back and not Carl.
I am so worried that Carl's going to be like, you know what? I can't do this, which is fine if that's what he needs to do for sobriety. Absolutely. And he just can't do it anymore. But if he's not there, fills the hole with Lindsay.
No, I don't. I think either both of them are gone or Carl comes back or they try to shoehorn in like a Lindsay redemption arc. And after tonight, I'm fucking.
I'm worried about. They broke up. Yes. If they tried to, Bravo producers are like, hey, let's try to shoehorn this in. We'll do a little Lindsay. Maybe Carl comes up a couple of times. Carl doesn't want to be anywhere near that. Doesn't go on the show. Lindsay's now on the show. That's what I'm worried about.
I think a lot of that will rely on how she is received this season. And if this is what we are going to watch for the entire season, I can't imagine people are clamoring for Lindsay to come back.
No.
So anyway, yeah, that was a great episode. That scene fucking sucked, but I feel better. This is cathartic for me. This is almost like therapy. So
it always is. Catharsism.
Catharsism. I'm bringing that. That's going to be a word.
Yeah.
I was bummed out when you texted it to me. I texted you back. I said, was there red squiggles under it? And you said, there sure were. And I was pretty upset. But catharsism, it sounds like a real word. It doesn't sound nearly as good as something being cathartic. It actually sounds negative.
Keep saying it until it is a word.
That's my goal. I said, this is going to be our word. You said, we need to get a word into the dictionary. I think catharsism is that.
Yeah, but I don't want it to be derivative. I want it to be a new one.
Just like a totally made up word.
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be tougher. To our listeners, if you hear us say some stupid shit, can you write it down? Because we forget things almost instantly.
We do, yeah.
So if you hear something silly, a brav broism, if you will, send it our way.
That's a good word.
Brav broism?
Yeah.
That's a terrible word.
Broism.
A broism, that's already a word.
I don't know.
I've heard people say broism. See? Stolen valor.
Oh, fuck.
We're better than that.
We'll figure it out.
But while we're figuring it out, you go buy those tickets to our live shows coming up. And our first one is tomorrow. While you're listening to this, go buy a ticket. There's not a bunch left, so go get your tickets. Come hang out with us. City Winery, Wednesday night. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7, but it's a bar, so you can go there whenever you want, I think.
And take off Thursday while you're at it.
Yeah, take off Thursday.
Who needs it?
Blow off the doors on Wednesday night, you know?
Yeah.
And then get your tickets to DC. That is the Union Stage, May 3rd. Please, please, please bring all of your friends. Let's pack that bitch. I want that whole place filled. That would be incredible. And then the last one is Boston City Winery, June 14th, also a Friday night. That's already almost sold out. So if you don't have your Boston tickets and you're planning on going to Boston, go buy them now. Don't wait. If you wait, I don't think you're going to get them. It's a 75-person room. I've been wrong about the number.
I keep saying 72.
It's 75.
Okay.
All right, it's 75 people, but that does not take away from the fact that there's not 75 tickets left.
It's not. It's five more than we thought, but. Yeah.
But not a lot of tickets. So go get your tickets, and you got anything else?
Nope.
Well, Rob Bros are out of here.
See you tomorrow.
Mate.